Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument, and has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show tonight. This is truly a really killer guitar night. We're going to have, it's been a while. We've been going back and forth with emails via telephone. And I finally got to get my guest on this show because he's been touring a lot. And he's been very, very busy. Rafael Moreira. Did I say that right?
Sure.
I am slowly becoming the worst person, just butchering names. So I have to, but it's Rafael.
Yeah, it's
Rafael. So anyway, amazing guitarist. He does a lot. He's done a lot of different things. He's probably his band, Magnetico, has been touring all over the place, and they're working on a new album, and we're very fortunate to have some sneak peeks of the new upcoming album, and the guitar playing is killer. And but he's played with all sorts of different artists. He's played with Pink, Christina Aguilera, Stevie Wonder. And he also was in the house band for several shows that are on TV. So he's done television, a little different type of session work. He was on Rockstar, The Voice, American Idol, and other shows. And he's just keeping busy. And most recently, he was playing with Paul Stanley and playing guitar for him, which was for his show. And well, before I introduce him and let him speak, I'm going to open up with a clip. This is a rough from the new album. Do we know what the name of it is yet, or you haven't figured it out?
The album will be called Death Race.
Death Race, okay. This is called Lady Friend of Mine, and this pretty much defines what I'm talking about here, some of the guitar playing. That's just awesome. Welcome to the show, Rafael. And then also here, I had to bring in a guest. I couldn't do this all by myself. I had to bring in another guitarist that I thought would really be great to complement what we're doing here tonight. So I invited Steve Pfister, who's been on the show before, another killer guitarist, another guy that's really into tone. And I just want to welcome you to the show. It's great to have you here in a different seat.
Thank you much, and hey now.
So, anyway.
This is great. Thanks, Jeff.
This is a blast, because this is, true. This is true, and we got some interesting stuff here that Rafael had brought in. So, real quick, let's go through your background. You started singing at 4. You started playing guitar at 6. Your family was very musical.
Yeah, yeah. My mom is a piano player, a music teacher, and me and my brothers, older brothers, you know, bass player and drummer. We start playing really young. My mom had a choir. That's why I started to sing really young, you know, and yeah, man, we just played a bunch of state fair shows, you know, as a trio.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little, you know, back in the day in Brazil, I grew up in Brazil, we had, you know, I had some distortion pedals. They were huge, dude. They were heavy. The guitar, I mean, my guitar was so terrible. I remember, were
these distortion pedals and these guitars Brazilian made?
Yeah.
Because I know people might not know this, but in Brazil, imports are very highly taxed.
Yeah.
So like a Fender guitar is like double the price here.
Three times.
Yeah, three times.
Everything,
okay.
Yeah.
So it's very, I was fortunate to go with my dad when I was in college to Brazil, and I talked to some of the bands that were playing, and they were like, you know, they saved all their lives to get a Fender or a Gibson or something.
Oh,
like
absolutely.
It was just like outrageous, the tariffs.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, but you know, it didn't stop us to, you know, from making music and going forward.
Well, when you were playing as a guitarist, I mean, it's interesting that you were playing electric guitar at 6, or was that, did you start on an acoustic and go to electric, or you were playing?
I started with a nylon guitar.
Okay.
When I was 8, I got my first electric.
Eight. Okay. So, but what were you listening to electric-wise? What were your influences then?
All the British rock bands.
Oh, okay.
The Zeppelin, Sabbath, and Deep Purple, and obviously AC/DC, Angus Young, and.
Oh, okay. So not Hendrix at that time.
You know, I got into Janis Joplin and Hendrix as well. But,
oh, okay.
You know, what introduced me to rock was British rock.
That's interesting.
And you know, I started to listen to American rock with Janis Joplin and Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and then I went back. But there were so many bands, man, you know. Iron Maiden, a lot of the harder stuff. It just kept going.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I started to play guitar in 1980. So I couldn't have avoided, you know, the evolution of guitar playing,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, it happened big time in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
For good or bad,
mm-hmm.
we all know that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's easy for me to know what was good and what was bad. So.
Well, I think you obviously, the influences that you had made an impact because you're playing. One of the things in listening to the albums, there was two albums that you had sent me. The first album for Magnetico, which is called The Songs of the Earth.
Songs About the World.
About the World, Kevin. I have songs, and I forgot to write the rest of it.
It's all good.
I remember.
That's we're here, man. We're here.
And then Acid.
Acid guitar. Let's, you know, I mean...
I'm into abbreviating. I'm so sorry. Okay, anyway, but those are the two albums that he showed me, and it was really interesting. Totally different styles. I mean, the album, though, you can hear the in terms of playing. One of the things that impressed me with acid guitar is the versatility. You were doing all sorts of stuff. You're doing different. You're doing a little jazz. You're doing a little. You're doing obviously rock stuff, but you're doing some progressive. I would call progressive because you're just like going outside,
mm-hmm.
as we say in the business. And you know, you were doing a lot of different things, and it was really interesting. That album, you were telling me a little bit before the show that a lot of the stuff that you were doing, especially the guitar tracks were one take. You overdubbed guitars, but the actual lead that you did was like one whole complete take. It wasn't punch-ins and stuff.
On acid guitar, I wrote some of those songs even before I moved to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I recorded in my bedroom, not the whole album. We did a live session in someone's garage,
mm-hmm.
with no click. So it's all one
take. It's tight. This rhythm section,
yeah.
is tight.
It's Corey McCormick on bass, played with Chris Cornell, and he's playing with Lucas Nelson now, and this kid, Joey K. They're both from Pasadena, and we were a little team, you know. They were awesome. I was very fortunate to have those two, you know, playing with me, and I really appreciate that. We did the album, eight songs, all live with no click. Some of the songs are 12, 13 minutes long. And so half of the solos on the album, what I meant was that, you know, half of the solos are all live. Yeah. So what you're hearing, it's all the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
And all the overdubs were done in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had Moogie Canazio mix it. It's a good friend of mine, one of the best engineer producers out there. And again, I was very fortunate.
The kick drum and the bass are just tight, and they're really punchy. I'm listening to this thing at home on my system in the studio. I'm like, wow. I was impressed.
Thank you. Man.
I'm thinking of, let's play Miracle Road.
Sure.
That'll give a good idea. This is a clip. I actually edited two pieces of it, so it jumps into another two different leads. But you get an idea of what we're talking about. It's just cool. A monster. And again, I want to interject one other thing. I think this is the one at the end. You're using the wah.
The end has a little bit of a pog, an old pog.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I have another clip for the wah, but he's another killer wah player. I mean, he's like, well, I play wah. It's okay. But I'm like, no. This is really cool. Anyway, here is take a listen to this. This is Miracle Road.
Thank you.
that speaks for itself. I mean, he just now that's a long clip. I played a long clip there. I don't usually play that long, but you had to hear the development where he's going. And then when he there that very last part where I did edit where that part where he plays those real heavy notes at the end. But it's just brilliant. I mean, where he's taking it, it's just going, and it's you're listening, and it's like, oh, well, that's cool. Oh, whoa, wait a minute, he's taking me there. Oh, wow, you know, and you can hear there's a big jazz influence in there too. But I mean, you still have the soulfulness. It's not really strictly blues, but it's kind of like that. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know if you.
That was a question I had real quick. We were talking about the '70s influence, right? So. That's some soulful playing.
Thank you, man.
It was just and so what do you attribute the all that feel? And of course, Chops Deluxe, fantastic.
Oh my god.
Tone, yeah. Everything great. Great ensemble playing. I love the fact that you said no click.
Yeah.
Look at the thing that's just dripping with feeling. What do you attribute that it gave us that blues feeling, but it wasn't. It was unique. It was you.
Right. Yeah.
So,
it's a tough thing, man. I purposely don't want to sound like a blues player, mm-hmm. or you know, I it's hard for me to explain this, but I'll try. It's basically I love jazz. I love blues. I love rock. I love Brazilian music, but I don't want to sound like. I don't want to sound like a specific style,
right?
You know, when I'm writing this is my first album, so it's not like I had it something set. Oh, this is gonna be like this. No, this is not going to sound like Steve Vai. That's what I didn't want to in the general context,
right.
of the album. Gotcha. Yeah, when I was a kid, I loved it, and I still give props to all those guys. I mean, they're.
But when you were re-recording it,
yeah.
it evolved into something. No. What you originally started it,
yeah.
was that exactly what you wanted, or did it?
Yeah.
Did you let it evolve and change as you were recording?
No, not at all, because the recording process was the most simple one. We did 8 songs, no click, one take.
Mm-hmm.
I took it home. I add a couple guitars, rhythm guitars, mm-hmm. and my vocals, no lyrics. I mean, mm-hmm. there's all. And that's that you have the album. My point is, I wanted to have the Brazilian influence.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want it to sound, when I say Steve, it's not because of Steve Vai,
right.
per se, but it's all the guitar players that are playing instrumental music. They will have a line, you know, my melodies were coming from a chord melody with vocals, and then I'll take my solos mm-hmm. and take mm-hmm. anywhere I want.
There you go. Okay.
You know, I don't want it to
but
be...
But you were pretty, you had a very specific thing in mind in your ear.
Yeah.
That album was very, I mean... And it's I mean, that rhythm section is just so tight.
Yeah, I mean, on the solo part, it was all open, meaning we know what we're playing. Underneath the solo, there's a, you know, obviously a progression, but everything is improvised. You mm-hmm. know, we're taking our time. And that's what I was saying about jazz. Like, you know, you take that mentality of improvisation and you apply into what you're doing. It's like, I appreciate and I listen to it, but I just don't want to play standards again because or play blues because it's not me. I'm not creating my own progressions.
Right, you're going somewhere else with it.
That's just my take on it. It doesn't mean it's bad. I love it.
Yeah, no. But
I come from that.
You obviously have an appreciation for it.
Oh, my God.
See, yeah.
It's just that I could never be as good as Steve Ray, you know, Vaughn. I can't.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm not gonna go.
Well,
there.
Let me ask you now. On this album, what were you using? On this song, what were mm-hmm. you playing? What
I was playing a Strat.
That's a Strat.
I played the Strat through the whole album.
Hmm. Okay.
As a guitar.
And what amp were you using?
I was using an Ode, the first generation of the Bogner Shiva.
Okay.
Which they don't make anymore.
Okay.
What was different from that? From the new one?
I couldn't really describe it. But it's they say it's a little bit of a it's a more there's more of a clear sound to it. I AB some of the amps and it's just I couldn't leave that amp, you know. Mm-hmm. Like but you know, Jorg at Bogner made me a little special chord in the back of the amp for me to use my loop, you know, the delays and the volume pedal. I like it. I like to have that option when you're using a boutique or a high gain amp.
So you have the volume pedal and the effects loop?
Volume pedal and a delay. Because I already got a volume in my guitar to clean the tone. That's what I do all the time. I barely step on the, you know, I barely go to the clean sound of the amp.
Well, that sound at the very beginning when you just start the lead in Miracle Road, is that you on the volume control?
Yes.
Or is that the volume pedal?
Oh, no. When I'm raising the volume.
Because you kind of like hold a single note and you kind of fade it in. Is that the pedal or is that the pedal? Okay.
Well, my point is when I use the volume on the guitar, you're cleaning the sound. Right. That's all it is.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's like, let me, like so. So you just add as you go, right?
Right.
You're improvising. Things are getting hotter. You just add here.
You're doing that from your volume control on the guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know.
What would you use the volume pedal for?
For swells.
Or for the swells? Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, when you have the distortion of the amp and it's running through the loop, it's not going to change the amount of distortion, right?
Yeah.
It's just volume.
So you're just, it's already full-blown dirty, and then you're just bringing it in and out.
Bringing out, yeah.
As a master.
And it works with the clean as well. Hmm. Doesn't change anything. But here's, on the guitar, the volume on the guitar is the dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what is important to me. It's dynamics, where you start, where you want to take it.
Yeah,
it's at the tip of your finger.
Now, when you're playing those full blown out leads.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the amp, or are you using an overdriver?
Always the amp with maybe a tube screamer on it.
Okay.
Like here's the amp, right? With the tube screamer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? It gives a little bit
That's
more.
That's it. That's it.
Gives a little more edge.
It's a little more. It's fun, man. You know, when you're in that, you build something. You know, you work a little bit to build something, and then you can freestyle up there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can freestyle anywhere. It's just a, you know, I think it's a conversation. You gotta lead somewhere.
Yeah,
when you're conversing with somebody, you just don't. I don't know.
But you're bringing. The interesting thing is, by playing around with the volume on your guitar and stuff, you get a dynamic that's really nice. There's dynamics to the guitar. I mean, not just blown out and clean. When you bring it, when you roll it back, the amp just what I call that bloom. It gets that nice. You know, when you're playing back on the volume control and you're playing. You still get a little hint of distortion, but it just gives it that nice little mellow, and also your sound, similar to what I hear when you play, Steve, is you get that really what I call a brown sound, where you're really pushing the tubes. It's more like a power tube sound. I know we're tuned down here. Mm-hmm. He's not really. If you crank this amp, it would sound just amazing. But I mean, you get what I'm saying. It's a deeper. Lower mid punchy sound. Am I saying that right?
Absolutely. You know, what's really cool about this is the fact that the volume control. Okay, it's every little notch is a different tone, and we didn't talk about the pickups. I mean, you know, you flip up the rhythm. You know, you do this. You know, there's people.
Yeah.
There's so many sounds right within the volume control of the guitar.
Go ahead and play around with it so people can get an idea. That's the bridge pickup.
Yeah, but you know, like I play with the drummer. You know, if we're taking it up, I'm here. I don't know where.
Like the conversation,
right? But he, you know? A lot of that. I mean, he was playing a little bit with the volume control, but a lot of what he was doing there, from the, you know, he would set it, and but a lot of the control, he would get cleaner. It was all in his hand.
You
how
know,
hard he was picking, right, and that's, you know, that's a great. I mean, to me, that's a lot of my favorite players. They just, you know, like Jeff Beck. He just does. He'll play around with it. He'll turn the guitar down, and then he'll do it all with his hands.
Yeah.
And I see that in what you're doing there. I mean, listen to the vibe, you know, and then the articulation's still there, even in the real, you know, cranked up things. He's getting all those notes, and they ring, and they're all the articulation blows me away.
Beautiful.
Thank you. You know, it's almost second nature because you're always playing with friends and great musicians, mm-hmm. It's a matter of how you attack the notes, and, you know, if we're raising the bar a little, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. I don't have to raise the volume. It's just play a little harder with a mm-hmm. little more attack, and you have leverage over here on the volume knob. You know, it's right here.
Mm-hmm.
So then you know, I love playing with effects as well, you know, adding colors and.
Well, let's talk a little bit about. Now you brought in a little pedal board for us because
yeah.
He has a huge system, and let's talk about the little bit what you're using and the different systems, what you use in concert and as opposed to what you're using here and in the studio.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that this is a terrible little board, meaning there's nothing special, no buffers, nothing. You know, I just took this board to the Kiss cruise, actually.
Okay.
You know, with Magnetico, and it really, I honestly gonna say this, I do care about my tone, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. I'm just gonna say it out loud because I know.
In what
a lot
way
of,
does it matter?
It doesn't matter, man. Who cares? I'm gonna play with the same, you know, passion. I wanna play.
Oh, okay.
I
so
love
it's all
playing.
It's all it's the feel.
Yeah, man. We're gonna play. Plug it in, you know, and. My point is, this is sucking everything out of my amp right now. This little board is sucking everything of the amp. You're not hearing the best, cleanest sound, mm-hmm. but it's doing what I need, just, you know, to get by, and I really don't care at the end of the day.
Now, what's different than your bigger systems?
Oh yeah, it's all true bypass, and I have way more possibilities. Everything's steppable, like, you know, you have the tremolo is steppable, all my uni vibes are steppable, or you know, speed, you know.
So you have more of each, but it's still same, the basic,
it's all true bypass. There's, you're not losing anything, and, you know,
yeah,
but it's a bit, it's bigger, it's different.
Well, it's like you just said, it boils right down to the passion, and it's the right hand, and it's the way you attack. I mean, it's not to be flippant about gear, man, it's the player.
I honestly, I'm not too crazy about it. I appreciate and I respect it. I'm just not one of those guys. I wish I was, actually, to be more knowledgeable about every little thing. But you know what, man? I'm more concerned or even more interested in making melodies or arranging my tunes.
Right.
You know, in a way where it's like adventurous.
Well, the interesting thing is you're a singer. You started out as a singer. So that's influencing your playing. So you're phrasing like a singer. And some of the things that you're doing are vocal things.
Mm-hmm.
You notice it on the Acid Guitar album because you have the scat thing. Yeah. You have somebody singing along with you a lot. And it, but that's an influence. That's a different influence, which is interesting because, mm-hmm. like most jazzers, they're usually influenced by saxophone. They usually play a lot of saxophone stuff. Uh-huh. The vocal thing, and plus the Brazilian vocal type of the music that he was listening to, the vocal music that you were singing, it's a whole different game. And it makes, it's part of that unique mix of that makes you you. And I think that that's really important. But you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, we can just plug you into this Bogner without anything, and you would still do these amazing tones. And you probably, you know, yeah, you wouldn't have the echo on there or something like that, but right. you could still do it.
You know, I hate to say that, man. I agree with you, and I agree with you in general. All of us, we all have a sound. No matter if you try to copy anybody, you're still going to sound like you.
I guarantee you, if I put you in a Marshall, you would sound like you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you know, it's a, but this is all optional. Having I like
yeah.
effect.
Well, it gives you more colors and possibilities.
Yeah, you know, and where to use it, you know, little wahs and, you know, things. This is going to buzz. You're going to hear it. It's great. It's funny. Look at this.
Oh, I love that white noise.
But, like, look at this.
Since you're mentioning the wah, I'm going to play a 37. This is actually one of the rare short clips because there's so much stuff on these albums. This is from this is just a wah clip. It's the song's called "Santa Claus Is a Lie."
Oh yeah, that's a live solo on the Magnetico first album.
Oh okay. Yeah. Here, let me play. It's a quick clip, but it gives you an idea of his fears.
And it's all improv. I mean, the solo part.
Now you know what I'm talking about.
Lord have
He's
mercy.
Like, you know, yeah, my wah's okay. He's like, I'm like, no, no, no. People don't play wah like that. There's just that doesn't happen every day. That's just not common. And I mean that soulfulness that you're talking about, playing from the heart, it just comes out. I mean, that's just. I mean, I didn't take a picture of it, but Steve's face when he's like, wow, you know, it's just like
it's awesome.
Thank you.
It's awesome. And, you know, the thing about the wah, and if we start talking Hendrix and single coil pickups and, mm-hmm. and all this kind of stuff, the buzz is part of the sound. When they started making noiseless Strat pickups yeah. and stuff, people were going, what's the missing element here? It's not buzzing. You know, and if you analyze those old records, which we've all picked up via osmosis, we feel this stuff, this beautiful music. That's influenced us in one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was all part of it.
Just like that. Couple
yes.
pedals, you know. But, you know, this tune, you know, with Magnetico, I never played a Strat or anything. It's all Pauls, what
okay.
we heard right now.
That was a Paul with the
yeah,
wall.
Yeah, it's a Les Paul, and it was a Marshall cab when I recorded with the same Shiva amp that Jeez. I recorded my first album, solo album, the acid mm-hmm. guitar. But the first Magnetico album, again, I recorded at LA FX in North Hollywood. And pretty much one take everything, mm. and then took it home,
yeah.
and worked on it, and I did it on a 001 that crashed every single take I did, and I had a friend helping because I wasn't very good at Pro Tools then,
It crashed. And he's like, crashed, oh, man, we reached the end of Pro Tools. He was like, whoa, stop. Did you save it?
Yeah.
It was horrible. But
Pro Tools,
it sounds
hell.
Cool.
It kept us on the edge, too. I did my time with the 001.
You know what I mean?
And it kept us on the edge. It kept us like, oh, my God, this thing's going to crash. I got to make this happen. It was that urgency.
Yeah,
and it's so evident in the music.
Yeah, no, but it would really be interesting with him is doing an album and doing it on tape and then bouncing it so he gets the saturation of the tape.
Right.
I mean, and what you're getting, the sound you're getting is amazing as it is.
Yeah,
but it would be interesting to hear what he would sound like on tape.
Yeah, I did some tracking, just testing and hanging out with Chuck Kavoris at his studio. And it was, you know, I used a talk box and, oh my God, man, we got some tones. You know, I never, you know, we kind of talked about maybe doing something there, but, you know.
Yeah, no, it's a different sound. It's definitely a different sound. What wall were you using? Is that just a standard Crybaby or Vox, or is that something custom?
Always the Real McCoy picture wall.
Real McCoy, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Jeffrey, my buddy. I love that guy.
Yeah, it's a great sound. It's just a great sounding wall. Let's talk a little bit. Now, you've played behind artists like Christina Aguilera, Pink, and others, and then you've been the house band for Rockstar, The Voice, American Idol. Give us your impression of that, because being a session guy playing live, and then also something like television, which was, you know, what were the demands? How was it different? Did you have a lot of flexibility, or were you like really, was it really strict what you had to do, and you know.
You know, when I started, I mean, let's not talk about the TV shows, like when you go and play with an artist at Leno and Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
That's just 3 minutes, you know? So you do what you need to do and get out. But when you're, you know, you're stationary, like you're in the band and you're there. Well, let's say it's different, obviously, than playing with an artist. The TV shows, you know, that I'd done, Rockstar, The Voice, and American Idol, it's forever changing. You have nothing to grab on. So they throw you, you know, they throw you stuff all the time. You have to just take it and run with it real quick. When you're on tour, you go, you know, you do a week or 2 weeks of rehearsals, you do a couple shows.
Right.
In the tour, and you're dialed. It's on autopilot.
Yeah, but I mean, on the TV shows, were they wanted a specific thing, or did they pretty much let you take it and make it your own, so to speak?
It's kind of with the menu when you hire me. You gotta let me do my thing, otherwise it's not gonna be fun. You don't need me. There's 300 million guys to go and say yes.
Right, right. No, but I mean, it's interesting because I'm coming from the stuff that I used to do was studio sessions.
Yeah.
They would come in, okay, we're going to do a funk thing. I want you to get this type of sound, and you need to do this, and there's a chart, you do it.
Sure.
Now, that's TV, and I know they're bringing you in to make it more dynamic because of your playing.
Yeah. No,
you
no,
make
I
them,
get it.
You make the artist sound better because you're adding to
that. What I meant, and I don't want it to be misunderstood, is that most of the time, like, when we're doing a session, all I wanted to do is make the producer or who's running the session happy.
Right.
I'm not there to have an attitude at all.
That's no, what I'm saying. I'm not applying that. No.
What I'm saying is when you call me to play live, you're calling me because I do a certain thing.
Right.
And that's live TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on a TV show and I'm on a station where I have my rig, you know. Now we're going to play a country tune, and then we're going to play 15 other songs, a pop song, a rock song, a polka song, whatever. What I want to make sure is that I play the songs, but I also add my voice.
Right, you know?
And it goes with everything, but you know, I take suggestions, man. I want to make everyone happy.
Yeah,
I'm working for somebody.
But and I want to make sure that they have what they wanted.
Now, but what was your setup for television? Did they have to, could you use a half stack, or did you have to use a small system? And were you gobo'd? Were you isolated? Were you, or were you able to open it up?
It's always been a struggle, man. You know.
No, I know.
I'm a typical guitar player. on Rockstar, I had three full stacks.
Okay.
6/4-12s.
And they let you crank it?
Absolutely. I fought my way through it. I'm
sure the sound engineer.
Everybody if they wanted to take that away. And mm-hmm. It's risky. It's very risky to open your mouth that way. But somebody have to do it.
Well, it could make or break the appearance of that person on the show. I mean, that guitar can make that singer really happen. You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely.
I've been battling with people about you're too loud or, look, when I'm playing there, it's my office.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have my board a certain way. It's for me to perform well.
Mm-hmm.
It's for them, you know?
Right.
So a lot of people are not very inclined to be on stage anyway, but they're working. So they just walk and step on everything.
Mm.
Who needs to say something? Me. I'm the only guy taking care of me. My tech's somewhere else.
Right.
So that, you know, it's always a little bit of a
Oh, I know. I mean, battle. I mean, we're limited here in the studio. I had we got to turn it down. I'm frustrated because as a guitarist, I really want to hear it crank, but we have limitations. But I get what you're saying. But
yeah,
it's really, people don't understand how controlled sometimes television can be.
Like for example, I've done American Idol for the last 2 years, and they called me to come in and really go and play. They push my full stack and they roll my board and I'm ready to play. There's not a lot of chance mm-hmm. to be dialing my stuff. So yeah, man, we're gonna play Zeppelin. We're gonna play Whitesnake. I wanna let them have it.
Mm-hmm.
This is for everybody. I wanna go there and play guitar, and not just play cool and nice. What the hell happened to guitar? It's American Idol. Let's break the rule.
Right. Well, also too, American Idol, you're playing in a concert hall, right?
Well, it's a TV studio.
Oh, it's still a soundstage?
Oh, yeah. It's a CBS and great band. The Voice is a great band. All of them are great bands. So I'm fortunate to be on stage with everybody. But, it's like for everybody, man. You have a chance, you come swinging.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to, you don't leave anything there.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's critical. I think that's, like you said, that's what you're there for. That's the dynamic you're bringing to whoever the artist you're accompanying.
We talked about, you asked me about, it's very difficult. When I feel like I'm not needed in a way, look, you're using me for something that you don't need me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that? Those guys should be doing this. Because it's just like anybody can do this. You're wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
This is like going back to the core of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's going back to knowing who you are, what you do best, and knowing that somebody's calling you for mm-hmm. you to do your job or something that you
well,
do
it seems
well.
To me you pick the battles really carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've seen of your great playing on TV, you've won the majority of them, because half the reason for watching those shows as guitar players is because
of him. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No,
so you've won. You've done a great service to us that we just want to play expressive, good music and do the best for the artist. Whatever the call is, and there's the difference. You said there's 100 guys that'll do that. If they strip you of your identity,
right?
And that's one thing that.
It's interesting too, and it's a little different than like the normal record date. In a sense, I mean, yes, you want to be creative, you want to be expressive, but there's that live element that you have in that performance, even though it's in a soundstage. They're creating a live concert, so there's another dynamic to it.
Oh my
it's
God.
Like, okay, you got the singer that you're accompanying, but he's got to put the energy, He's got to put energy in that that's going to make it work. It's not him as a solo artist, because he can do that. But he has to do whatever he does to make them go farther. And it's a subtle thing, but it's different than what you're doing in a standard studio thing. If I don't think you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
It's different.
I just want to say to Steve, thank you, man, for the compliment. You're a great player, and I'm always, you know, struggling with my own thing, you know, because it's not news to me. I'm always like, you know, we all think that way sometimes, you know, but I don't think I have actually picked my battles that carefully.
Well,
it comes from
inside.
From inside, yeah. You know, being in the moment, not coming from a bad place at all. It's coming from the place where, look, this is who I am, you know. But there's a fine line, you know. I want to think like the person that is hiring me, and right. And make sure, if I was hiring me, would I be happy?
Right.
So right. I struggle with that, and I want to make sure that, you know, I understand sides. So.
There's a difference between attitude and ego,
mm-hmm.
and knowing what you want to do. Now,
right.
Meeting with you, we met earlier before the show and sat down with the clips and talked about stuff. He knows what he wants. He's very specific, very specific. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, that's showing that you know what you're hearing, what you want to hear. And that's important. That focus is what I think I think that guides you to those gigs, because you're very focused in what you are about.
Right.
And what your playing is about. And I think that's where it falls in. Because when you kind of don't know, you know, well, I can do this, I can do that. You just kind of wander around and kind of take anything, you know. As opposed, you're very specific. If this works, if I can make this work, which is the studio attitude, if I can make this work for you, I'll do it.
Right.
But like you said, if there's really no need for me, there's no need for me. You're wasting your money, you're wasting your time. That's not an ego thing.
No.
That's a... No. I mean, I've had a situation where I did a session and it was overlaid, a lot of stuff, and I literally said, I think you got it. I don't think there's anything I can do to make this record better.
Well,
the producer caught it. He was like, that's cool, and I got another gig from him.
Well, that's the thing. You're trying to interface with what the production wants. You got to make that guy happy. Yet still, you know, we're not mind readers all the time.
Totally. Mm-hmm. When I did Rockstar, I felt appreciated and I was in my element, because we're playing music that we love,
mm-hmm.
and right. I have total freedom to play guitar and it make my own interpretation of all the music that we loved. That was great. When I did The Voice, if you're going to tell me every note I'm going to play on the guitar, just look to the side and just bring all those guys. They will do it. Or put a karaoke CD on. Why are you hiring great musicians? Put the CD without the vocals. Stop mm-hmm. working too hard.
Yeah.
And I that's what I'm saying, you know? And if you want to have people that... This is a live situation. We're going to make it sound great, you know? Just, you got to trust the people that you're with. So,
yeah,
that's my idea.
Agreed.
I mean, in session lore too, that's what Lukather was called in to do, just to do his thing, you know, do this. They might give him some constraints, like stay in this key and then go way up here at the end, and he would do that. A lot of the guys, there were other guys that were called in to read. They were just like, and I get what you're saying. And there's a purpose and a point for each.
I'm super happy, man, to work with the producer. To take the direction he
right.
wants all the time,
mm-hmm.
all the time. But as a producer or a musical director, the purpose to have me next to you is for me to do that you
yeah.
want. Oh, Hafa's here. He's gonna do his thing. And if there's something, oh, Hafa, maybe not here. Cool.
Right.
I'm all about it.
Right.
Right.
But if you're gonna be a control freak and be on top of me, don't call me.
I admit that we've all gigged with, yeah.
There's been some miserable times from that
right?
kind of thing. You're just trying to make people happy, and you walk out real soulless and real kind of crappy.
There's a lot of,
yeah.
lot of great people, man, that I worked with that I'm very happy to work
yes.
with all the time. And work is work, you know. We're all working musicians, you know. But if you don't speak up, man, you become a robot.
I think the thing is you have to stay true to yourself, you know. Or then it's, you know, you're selling yourself short when it's like, you know, you're just, you know, it's like prostitution.
Jeff, we've got that music and commerce.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And if this was on TV, you'd see my hands just doing the up and down.
Up and down. No, I get
because
it.
Because it's a line that we always are treading very lightly on, because we all have to make a living. And we have to keep our accounts current. And yet we, you know, like you said, we want to be generic. You can hire some other guy. Let him do it, you know.
Yeah.
If you have a voice, use
it. But sometimes that's good, because that kind of honesty... The producer wants to know that, because you're not wasting their money. You know, that's the whole thing. The bottom line for them is to hit their budget. And if you're honest about it, I found that goes farther. It's better to say, you don't need this, or this is not the, I'm not going to give you, this is not the best way to utilize me. That's an honest statement. That's not an egotistical thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. I think you need, that's, as a musician... That's why you're good, because you're play from your heart, and you gotta do that. You can't do that anywhere else.
I mean, it's music to me is emotion. If you don't feel anything about somebody playing, or I mean, it's emotion, man. You gotta make people feel something.
Absolutely.
And it's fine if you're a super technical guy, and it's all about technicalities and. And if you're boring to go see a show, I mean, I don't want to go see a show. I want to see Angus Young. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry, but that's the guy I want to see. I want to see Jimmy Page and Hendrix burning the guitar and humping the guitar. It's funny as hell. Right? I mean,
right.
It's really
good. You're always feeling something. Yeah. That's what we all want.
I want to laugh. I want to have fun. This is like.
Well, I told you, this goes fast. We're already out of time. We're actually running late. I just want to mention really quick. www.rafaelmoreira.com and magnetomusic.com. And what else is going on with you? The new album's we're gonna play another clip from the new album, and what's the details? When's it coming out?
Well, you know, you can. It's called Death Race. The new album. It's. My band Magnetico, it's a trio. I sing and play guitar, and Greg Collins is mixing it. He's mixed the Les Two Kisses album,
mm-hmm.
and he's a great guy.
When's the album coming out, do you think?
I'm really just waiting on the mixes, you know. I'm working with him and his artwork, and that's it, man.
I'm gonna play a clip from Death Race. And Steve, anything real quick? What's going on with you?
Just the website, stevehister.com.
Okay. Anything happening? I think you're doing an acoustic gig.
We're doing a bunch of different stuff, and just go to the website and.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay, guys.
I had a guest. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, both of you guys. You guys are awesome. You're just awesome. So I'm gonna leave you guys with Death Race, the title track of the album. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next week.